News of the Church and Comment. Angel Moroni statues placed atop three temples. Statues of the Angel Moroni were set atop the spires of three temples on September 21, 2001, the 178th anniversary of Moroni's first appearance to the prophet Joseph Smith. Small crowds gathered at temples in Nauvoo, Illinois, Boston, Massachusetts, and The Hague, Netherlands, to watch construction workers place the gold-plated 6-foot-10-inch statues. More than 500 spectators cheered as the angel statue was set on the dome of the Nauvoo Temple. Although the Nauvoo Temple is being constructed to closely resemble the original structure, the new temple has a standing angel, as do other modern temples, rather than a flying angel like the one on the original building. The Nauvoo Temple will be dedicated on June 27, 2002, the 158th anniversary of the martyrdom of Joseph and Hiram Smith. A 5-week open house will be held beginning May 18, 2002, excluding Sundays and Mondays. The placement of the statue on the Boston Temple marked the long-awaited completion of the temple steeple. It followed the resolution of a lawsuit filed last year by some local residents who objected to the proposed steeple. The Boston Temple was dedicated without its steeple on October 1, 2000. Local church leaders and the director of the construction company spoke to a crowd of more than 300 at the Hague Temple, who then watched Dutch construction workers wearing traditional wooden shoes climb the scaffolding in order to guide the statue into place. The Hague Temple is scheduled to be completed next summer. Remodeled Temple Square visitor centers offer interactive look at gospel. The North and South visitor centers on Temple Square in Salt Lake City reopened on October 5th with new exhibits offering visitors opportunities to learn about the church according to their own interests and at their own pace. The exhibits focus on basic beliefs of the church, including the divinity of Jesus Christ, the importance of following his teachings, and the eternal nature of the family. But the means of learning include new interactive exhibits that let visitors explore their own questions. Missionaries continue to be available to give guided tours of Temple Square. The heroic-sized Christus statue is still a focal point of the North Visitor Center, as in the past. The themes of all the new exhibits in the building unite to testify of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and the head of His church on the earth. On the center's ground level, for example, visitors encounter a 14-by-14-foot model of Jerusalem at the time of Christ. Touching a bar above one of the pictures around the model spotlights the site in Jerusalem where the event in the picture may have taken place, and the visitor hears a recorded message about the event. Restored and new murals on nearby walls depict events from the Savior's life. Other displays in the building focus on the place of prophets in His church and in the lives of His followers and on how His followers may live His teachings. In the South Visitor Center, two themes are explored, coming together in the middle of the building as visitors look out at the panorama of the Salt Lake Temple. Those coming into the west entrance of the center will find displays teaching of the importance of the family. Those coming in through the new east entrance of the building will find displays teaching about the temple. Progressing toward the middle, they will find displays that teach about how temples can bind families together forever. Touchscreen displays and interactive video kiosks are important contributors to learning from the new exhibits. In the Scriptures and Revelation exhibit in the North Visitor Center, for example, visitors will be able to see and hear video messages from President Gordon B. Hinckley. The new technologies freely used in the exhibits are meant to ease the way of learning, but the emphasis of the exhibits is still on gospel principles, said Elder Charles Didier, the 70, Executive Director of the Missionary Department. We hope all people who visit the centers leave uplifted and take away an increased understanding of the church and of the Savior, he said. Each year, some 5 million people come to Temple Square, one of the most visited spots in the western United States. It is expected that many visitors to the Salt Lake 2002 Olympic Winter Games will be drawn to Temple Square. Church materials available for those with disabilities. A childhood bout with meningitis left Brenda Jorgensen, now 22, with the inability to communicate verbally and the mental development of a 7-year-old. But Brenda, a member of the Basin City First Ward, Pasco, Washington Stake, learned to communicate using American Sign Language, ASL. And she also learned to love the Book of Mormon. So Brenda was delighted when she saw an article in the July 2001 Ensign about the release of the Book of Mormon in ASL on video cassette. Brenda carried the article around with her for weeks, begging us to order the video, said her mother, Ann Jorgensen. But I kept putting it off because I was sure it was something we couldn't afford for a while. When Sister Jorgensen called the distribution center to ask how much the videos cost, the phone clerk said they were $250, then put me on hold, said Sister Jorgensen. While I was waiting, I knew that even though $250 was a lot of money, we would buy this for Brenda because she needed it, though we might have to wait until we could afford it. When the clerk returned and clarified that the entire sequence of videos cost a total of $2.50, Sister Jorgensen told him he must have made a mistake. Then he explained that the church had decided that the price of any version of the Book of Mormon, whether it was in Spanish or ASL or any other language, wouldn't exceed the price of the standard English version, said Sister Jorgensen. I got all choked up. I was so grateful. The ASL Book of Mormon is just one of hundreds of church items available for free or for a nominal cost to accommodate people with hearing, visual, physical, learning, mental, and other disabilities. Examples include simplified scripture readers, the annual Children's Sacrament Meeting presentation in Braille and ASL, manuals on teaching those with disabilities, and a wide range of curriculum items in large type, on audio cassette or CD, or in Braille. For a complete list of these items, see the Materials for Those with Disabilities section of a church materials catalog, available at your local distribution center, local meeting house, or on the internet at www.ldscatalog.com. General Conference, now on DVD. Members who want to watch conference again or watch it in a different language can now purchase a digital video disc DVD set on which conference is recorded in 16 languages. Production of the DVD set marks the first time that members can purchase an audio or visual recording of conference in any language other than English. All 5 sessions of conference are now produced on the DVDs in Cantonese, Cebuano, English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mandarin, Portuguese, Russian, Samoan, Spanish, Tagalog, Tahitian, and Tongan on a single DVD video. Because this DVD set is compatible with NTSC, PAL, and CCAM formats, it can be watched on any television set in the world. The DVD set of October's General Conference, item number 21058, $14.25 in U.S. money, is scheduled to be available from church distribution centers in December. Recordings of conference are also available in English on video cassette, audio cassette, and compact disc. Find Temple Square Event, a new location on the church website at www.events.lds.org, allows users to get information and tickets for all Temple Square-related events, including those in the Conference Center Theater, Tabernacle, and Assembly Hall. General Conference tickets, however, will continue to be distributed through local church leaders. For those without Internet access, information about events and tickets is available by calling 1-801-240-0080. Ricks Becomes Brigham Young University, Idaho, by Don Sparhawk. As Brigham Young University, Idaho, formerly Ricks College, winds up its first semester, many changes are underway. The decision to change the school from a 2-year college to a 4-year university was announced by President Gordon B. Hinckley in June 2000. The name change was designed to help give the school immediate national and international recognition. This fall's homecoming week, held September 18th through the 22nd, included special events celebrating the change, the lighting of a legacy torch, symbolizing the legacy and spirit of Ricks College, a torchlight parade by night, fireworks, a concert with Gladys Knight and alumni performers, and the final homecoming football game. Commencing homecoming week was a devotional address given by Elder Henry B. Eyring of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, who is the Church Commissioner of Education and a former president of Ricks College. Speaking of the school's transition, Elder Eyring told students and faculty that change will not end. The phrase "rethinking education" is not to be only a slogan for the transformation from a 2 to 4 year status. The school is to be a place of educational innovation permanently, he said. The people who serve here have found a way to make changes, great and rapid changes, that will enhance, not replace, the best of what the school has always been. Because of that, I can with confidence make you a promise. When you return in some distant future, you will find great innovation has become commonplace. And yet, amidst all the change, the school will have retained and enriched the basic characteristics which blessed your life. Milestones during the past year have included the hiring of 25 new faculty members, groundbreaking for the new Jacob Sporey and multi-use buildings, announcement of the Thomas E. Ricks Building, and candidacy status for accreditation of the proposed bachelor's degree programs. A record 9,200 students enrolled at BYU-Idaho this fall semester as the school began offering 17 bachelor's degrees along with traditional associate degrees. About 50 baccalaureate programs are planned to be implemented by 2004. The university expects to continue to experience a modest increase in the size of the student body during the next few years, reaching an expected high of 11,600 students in 2005. To accommodate a greater number of students, BYU-Idaho will fully utilize facilities year-round, offering a wide variety of courses during the summer, as well as the traditional fall and winter semesters. Students will be admitted on one of four academic tracks. Besides the traditional fall-winter track, the school will offer a winter-summer track, a summer-fall track, and a year-round fast-track program. Intercollegiate athletics will be phased out at the end of the 2001-2002 academic year. A new student activities program is designed to meet the extracurricular needs of the diverse student body. The program will have an array of year-round activities in three areas: service and social, visual and performing arts, and physical activities. Each area is structured to give students numerous opportunities for involvement at leisure, instructional, recreational, and competitive levels of interest. In the spotlight, Japanese members celebrate 100 years. Throughout 2001, church members in Japan have been celebrating the 100th anniversary of missionary work in their country. Elder Heber J. Grant, then a member of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, dedicated the islands of Japan for the preaching of the gospel on September 1, 1901 in Yokohama. On September 1, 2001, Elders Donald L. Hallstrom, Yoshihiko Kikuchi, and Gary S. Matsuda of the Asia North Area Presidency presided at a commemorative ceremony held on the grounds of what will be a new Yokohama meeting house located near the place where Japan was dedicated. Two large bronze commemorative plaques were unveiled, placed on the base of a steeple that will be part of the new meeting house. Among those attending the ceremony were Kenji Tanaka and Kenichi Sagara, who with Elder Kikuchi were called in 1970 as the presidency of the first stake in Japan, when there were about 12,500 members in the country. Presidents Tanaka and Sagara were later called as regional representatives. Elder Kikuchi became the first native Japanese to be called as a general authority. Today, Japan has 2 temples, 31 stakes, 8 missions, and more than 110,000 Latter-day Saints. First Kenyan stake organized. The first stake in Kenya was organized on September 9th by Elder Robert C. Oaks and Elder Stephen E. Snow of the Africa Southeast Area Presidency. The Nairobi Kenya stake was organized from the Kenya-Nairobi district. Joseph W. Satati, Daniel Muthiani, and Hesborn Oyusi, who had been serving as the district presidency, were called to the state presidency. The church was officially recognized in this East African nation on February 25, 1991. BYU Hawaii ranked fourth by U.S. News and World Report. Brigham Young University Hawaii was recently ranked fourth in the Western Region category for comprehensive non-graduate degree granting universities in the U.S. News and World Report's annual survey of America's best schools. The university also received the highest ranking in the region for academic reputation. Area presidency meets Australian Prime Minister. Elders Kenneth Johnson and Valar Christensen of the Australia-New Zealand Area Presidency met with the Prime Minister of Australia on August 28th. They discussed with the Honorable John Howard and other parliamentary leaders and senators how the church supports families and communities. Church-seeking Joseph Smith manuscripts. The church archives of the Family and Church History Department are searching for original manuscripts relating to the prophet Joseph Smith, including documents written by or to Joseph Smith, documents containing contemporary references to him, and documents bearing his signature. Anyone with information concerning the location of such manuscripts, whether in private or institutional possession, is requested to contact Sherilyn Duffin at duffinsh@ldschurch.org or at 1-801-240-2258. Comment: Easing Burdens. Thank you for the informative and helpful article, Easing the Burdens of Mental Illness, October 2001. As national president of the Canadian Mental Health Association, and as one involved in this area for almost 20 years, I can attest to the support that we as members of the Lord's Church can bring to those who suffer with mental illness. Such service is a demonstration of the concern and love that we as Latter-day Saints have for those around us. The world has need of willing volunteers who will ease the burdens of others and heed the call to serve. Bill Gaudet, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Just as much meaning. Thank you for publishing the article, Loving My Wayward Child, September 2001. It addressed a sensitive topic in a way that touched me deeply. Two things stood out to make the story especially meaningful. First, the mother realized that her attempts to force her daughter to change destructive behaviors were actually infringing on her daughter's agency. Second, the account ended with the daughter still not active in the church, but with the mother continuing to have hope. This kind of experience has as much meaning and validity for members as stories that end with everything being set right. I think that the ensign publishing a story with a less-than-perfect outcome was courageous and beneficial. Tony Markham, Delhi, New York. Iowa, not Missouri. I enjoyed the article From New York to Utah, 7 Church Headquarters, August 2001. However, the caption on page 57, describing opinion of Nauvoo, should have said the viewpoint was from the Iowa side of the Mississippi River, not the Missouri side. Phyllis Sensky, Rapid City, Michigan. End of News of the Church and Comment.